This morning's public reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We've already done the first 9 chapters. And when we read John, chapter 10, again, chapter and verse division is very helpful. It helps us to find our place in the Bible. But there are times and seasons that the chapter and the verse divisions can be an enemy. Remember, the original manuscripts, Hebrew or Greek, had no punctuation, no paragraph indentation, and the words just ran, okay? There was no numbering system at all. So the chapter and the verse division actually began in the Middle Ages in order to make it easier for us to find where we're going. But when you read chapter 10, it's actually a continuation of chapter 9. Remember, chapter 9, Jesus is in that spacious court area of the temple. And this area was huge. It could accommodate thousands of people. Big open area before you had the actual building, the temple structure itself. You had this huge, huge courtyard. All right? So remember, Jesus ends off in verses 39 to 41 of chapter 9, basically telling the religious leaders that they're still blind and that their sin and their judgment still rests upon them. With that in mind, he's still talking to them. Verily, verily, I say unto you. He's talking to the religious leaders whom he just got done telling them, you're still blind and God's wrath is still on you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door, notice a single entrance, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Notice, he goes before us. We don't go before him. We're not leading Jesus. Jesus leads us. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Twice that's mentioned. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee for him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Notice the idea of a voice mentioned 3 times. This parable spake Jesus unto them, the religious leaders, but they understood not what things that which he spoke unto them. Notice, they're still blind. They're deaf and they're blind. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily. Now, some translations have truly, truly. When you have verily, verily, or truly, truly, when you have that doubled, it's the same thing in English when the teacher would say, please pay attention. Really pay attention. That's what that means. I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. There's one of those I ams. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Another implication of a foreign voice. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Please be seated, and may God bless his word. Now, in the Gospel of John, you will find something that is not found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke is called the Synoptic Gospels. The reason being is you can take Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all right, in many Bibles in the back, if you have a study help Bible, in the back they will have the 4 Gospels lined up, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they take all the events that are found by book and chapter, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke basically cover the same events, the same sermons, the same miracles, the same discourses. Now, there's going to be variation in what's said. Some areas may have more. Other gospels may have a more condensed. But when you come to John's gospel, it's totally different. And there's a reason. Matthew's gospel portrays Christ as King of the Jews. Mark's gospel is the shorter of the four gospels because his gospel was written to the Romans. The Romans were a kind of a people. They wanted the information and they wanted it fast and they wanted it quick. That's why Matthew was 28 chapters, Mark is 16, and then Luke is 24. Luke's gospel portrays Jesus as a pure man, what Adam should have been, but fell. John's gospel portrays Jesus as God in the flesh. Now watch this. When you come to the Bible, the prophet Ezekiel sees these beings in heaven. And they have the face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of a man, and the face of an eagle. Matthew, the lion. John, eagle. Mark, the ox. Luke, perfect man. Isn't that beautiful? Four gospels, four views of Jesus. What am I driving at? When you come to John's gospel, you will find the I ams of Jesus. You're not going to find them in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in John's gospel, because John's intent is to paint on the canvas Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. God walking amongst us in a body. And that's why we have the I ams. Jesus says what? I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. Here, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am, I am, I am. And that should take you all the way back to Exodus chapter 3, when Moses, who's now prostrate on the ground, his sandals are off of his feet, and he looks at this burning bush that's on fire but is not being consumed to ash. What is your name? When I go back to Israel, they're going to say, what God sent you? And the response was, you tell them, I am that I am. I am. I am who I am. And when Jesus comes and John is an eyewitness, John is the one who drops the I am bomb constantly. I am, I am, I am. In John chapter 8, remember when Jesus told the people in John 8, whose cages were already rattled, before Abraham was, I am. And they went for the rocks. Because you, a man, makest thyself out to be what? God. They knew what that I am meant. So here we have in chapter 10, Jesus, John paints the next canvas painting. Jesus, the good shepherd, the door of the sheepfold. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And beloved, guess what? The thieves and the robbers, in context, in the parable, are the religious leaders whom he's still addressing, whom he told at the end of chapter 9, you're still blind. And your sin still remains, and the impending judgment still looms over your heads. They are the thieves and the robbers of the parable. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Notice, there's only, when you have back in ancient times, the shepherds would build what we would call today kind of a corral. And the shepherd would sleep at the front entrance of the door all night. His sheep safely tucked in that corral or a hedge. It could have been walled, or stacks of hay, anything to build a hedge, a corral. And Jesus says, you religious leaders, you don't come in by the door. You try to climb over the hedge or over the corral to steal and to destroy my sheep. What an indictment. To him the porter opened it, verse 3, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now watch this, watch this. He calls us by name. When Jesus stood in John 11 outside the tomb of Lazarus, that was a cemetery. And because Lazarus and Mary and Martha, who were brothers and sisters, had means, he was able to have a tomb chiseled out into the rock versus in the ground. He had money. Remember Joseph of Arimathea? He gave his tomb to Jesus. He had money. His tomb was hewn out of the rock. Watch this. Jesus didn't say, roll back the stone, and Jesus didn't say, come out, because every tomb would have been open. Everyone would have came out of their tombs. Lazarus, come forth. He calls his sheep by name. What about the little man? He didn't say, hey, you up in the sycamore, pop down. Zacchaeus, come down. And when Mary was in the garden, the morning of the tomb being found empty, she thought that Jesus was the gardener who had stolen the body. When she goes to him, not knowing, he turns and says, Mary. Her response, teacher. When you were saved, you didn't hear it. But in the act of being born from above, in the act of being quickened, Jesus uttered your name. Here's another one. Acts 9, the Christian killer. Heaven opens. Jesus didn't say, hey you, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Get the picture? The good shepherd knows each sheep by name. And when you read the book of Revelation, what is going to be the reward of God's saints? He's going to give you a new name that only you will know in the book of Revelation. So that shows you that Jesus Christ is a very personal Savior. He's not a Savior gazillion miles out there in outer space while you're on planet Earth trying to simply scratch out a living every 24 hours. Your Savior is right with you. The Savior abides within you by the means of the Holy Spirit. Where you go, He goes along with you. He knows you by name. He doesn't say, hey, you. We do that sometimes. Hey, you, come here. He knows you personally by name. Here's something else you may not know. Shepherds in the ancient world at this time, you would have an entire pasture with nothing but sheep, just grazing. And you would have maybe two or three shepherds just watching, making sure there's no wolf or a thief. Even to this day, the shepherds will make a certain sound with their tongue in their mouth. And when they go off making that sound, only their sheep moves and comes to him. They don't all move. Only the sheep that he owns, who is taught to hear his certain call, only they move. The others will not. That's a beautiful picture of salvation. And what did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger's voice they will not hear. Like the prosperity preachers. You don't give them a dime, you don't give them an audience, because they're not your shepherd. They are false shepherds. Get my point? Here's another point. Here's the voice of the shepherd right here. Someone tells me that they're a Christian, and they say, well, I don't believe in that Genesis account. I can't believe that, because when I went to high school, they taught me X, Y, and Z. Right. I don't believe that Jonah was swallowed by this big fish. That's humanly impossible. Okay. And you claim to be a Christian. That's cool. Jesus didn't walk on water. He was walking on the stones that the apostles couldn't see below the waterline. Okay. All right. And you're going to tell me that some man dying on the cross some 2,000 years ago is the means by which I enter into a relationship with the Almighty? Uh-huh. Well, I don't believe that. Well, then stop calling yourself a Christian. Because apparently you have not heard the shepherd's voice. I've showed you at least four times in this first 10 verses the Jesus mentioning a voice. A voice. And I'm not advocating you have to actually hear your name called. But I'm telling you, when you were saved, when you were converted, when you were brought to Christ, He called you by your name. And only then could you respond. Because He gave you the ability to come to Him. Look at verse 10. Watch this. He describes the ones who try to climb up over that hedge into the sheepfold, the steel. Watch this. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Notice, steal, kill, destroy. The thief. Take this, go back to John 8. Go back two chapters. Come on. So the question is, what thief is Jesus referring to? Well, I think He identifies him in verse 44. Ye are your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So who's the thief that tries to destroy God's people? Good old Satan. And how does Satan go about doing that? He can't be everywhere at the same time. He's not like God. He's a created creature. He has false shepherds. The Joel Osteens, the Benny Hinns, clowns like that. Very convincing clowns whose voices are so slick they deceive the masses. And beloved, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Because I don't want any of us to be duped or deceived. And if you're going to fault me, I stand guilty, charged. I don't want you to fall prey to the thief of your soul. So I take that John 10 and that verse 10, and I go back to John 8:44. And I think John 8:44 is actually describing the thief that Jesus is referring to. And then he says there, in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The devil died for nobody. Joel Osteen died for nobody. Benny Hinn didn't die for anybody. And all the clowns out there in Christian TV land, they didn't die for anybody. I want you to know that Jesus Christ died for you if you are his sheep. I also want you to know that he knows you so much. He called you by your name. And I gave you several examples from his life that when Jesus was dealing with somebody, when he was going to bring them to himself, he always addressed them by their name. And then Revelation tells us, in the sweet by and by, he is going to give you a new name that only you and him will know. What a Savior. And may God choose to bless his word. Amen.